enjoy a good squeeze.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Margo.
And I'm August.
And this is A Good Squeeze.
The show where we squeeze a little bit of that James Bond into our everyday lives.
That's right. And today, August decided he was going to say hi first in the introduction, and that threw me off.
Did it throw you
for
off?
For a second. But we're here to keep you on your toes, guys, okay?
Yeah, this is a special episode.
This is a special episode.
As Margo would follow suit and say, yes.
Yeah, like all other episodes. We try to keep it special somehow. This one was special because... Go ahead, August.
Because...
My turn. No, I'm sure.
You stinker. Because we're going back, hey, let's all go to the movies. We haven't talked about a Bond film in some time. And in this year, we're celebrating a lot of Daniel Craig. We did some Quantum of Solace. We got some Casino Royale on the horizon. So what's next up?
Oh, what? Skyfall. Sorry.
I was going to say it, but then I was like, you know what? I'll let Margo say it.
Point at me. I'm like, oh.
Keeping you on your toes, too.
That's right. I'm going to keep you on your toes.
Yes.
See? I'm sorry. Skyfall. So Skyfall is the story of a boy who grew up in a house and then became a spy.
The end.
The end.
Yeah, Skyfall. We want to go back to the movies, James Bond stuff. We're celebrating Daniel Craig, so why not Skyfall? And I personally, I say this often when we talk about these movies, I've had an interesting relationship with the movie Skyfall.
I can't wait for the movie where you just have a normal relationship. You're like, I have nothing of interest to report.
I'm a bit of a stinker when it comes to Skyfall. And we're going to get into it more as we talk about this movie, you and I. But hopefully you can help me find the answer. Because I don't know why I'm a bit of a stinker when it comes to it. Like, I can't put my finger on it. I want to like this movie more than I do, is ultimately what it comes down to. As we watch it, I have a great time. I love the plot, I love the characters, I love the music, I love the cinematography. I love the action, I love the ending, I love the beginning, like, I love the middle. So, I have all this love for it, but when I come out of it, and I step away from it, and I, like, think about it, or I rank it, and those kind of things, it's never where I feel like it should be, and I don't know why, so maybe we'll deep dive.
Is it just, like, the perfect movie? It doesn't have that. Let's deep dive, and then we'll analyze this.
Yeah.
August. yeah. I was going to say your last name, and I was like, oh, wait, we don't do that.
Never mind. That's the problem, is it's not Die Another Day.
It needs like Sharks with Lasers. I don't think it has that.
No, it doesn't have enough Sharks with Lasers.
Doesn't have enough lasers, even fewer combined. I don't know. So why don't you set the mood for us? Because you like to immerse... the experience. Mm-hmm. You like to immerse the experience. You like to immerse us into the experience. What'd you make for us?
Sure. So with that, I've found when we do these movie nights and I do dinner and a movie and I theme a meal or a drink or what have you to the movie to enhance the experience, I have found it's increased my enjoyment of these movies. And certain ones that maybe I ranked, you know, more in the bottom half or even closer to the bottom have risen because I'm like, that was, you know, I had so much fun rewatching it with you or discovering it with you. And this meal, I love doing that stuff. So the whole experience really helps elevate it. So I was anticipating doing this and having Skyfall rise up. I'm like, maybe this will be the ticket. So I had the idea. It was a little different for what I usually do. Usually I just, you know, pick a meal and that's, you know, themed to the movie. I decided there's, you know, six key locations in this movie. I decided to make Margo and I a six course meal where each course was like a location. And I decided to serve it as the movie approach that location. So in the beginning, you know, we're in Turkey. I made like an appetizer of Baba ganoush and olives and pita and things like that. And then we go to good old London, England. I made cucumber sandwiches and tea.
Those are so good.
I
want to say too. Sure. Oh, sorry. I'll let you go through the whole menu.
Please interrupt. even before that, when Bond is, you know, we find out he's, spoiler alert, he's not dead. After the opening title, he's on a beach and he's drinking some Heineken. Hey, we drank some Heineken. And he does that little bit with the whiskey and the scorpion. Margot ate a chocolate covered scorpion. The scorpion just made a return.
It wandered into the house. I went, it's perfect timing.
And then where did we go? Where did we go after that? Did we go to Macau?
Yeah,
let me think here. Or maybe we went to China first. Regardless, China, we did some dim sum. Had a little dim sum, some steamed dim sum. And then...
Steam dumps.
And then Macau, I remember I got the egg tart. Oh, I didn't make the egg tart.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But we got it from our local Macau bakery. And then we go to Japan, and I made some ramen. And then ultimately we go to Skyfall. In Scotland, sorry. Skyfall, Scotland. And I smoked some venison. We ate some deer.
As a representation of that statue.
Of the statue of Skyfall. Mm-hmm. So I did smoked venison with a cherry sauce. And I enjoyed that personally the most. Which one of these courses was your favorite?
So before I get into my favorite, one thing I want to point out too is a lot of people, there are many dining experiences that incorporate that kind of, you know, you order the whole course or whatever, all the courses, and then they bring it out to you as they essentially dictate. And the whole point of that is that you take your time and you indulge and you have the flavor. And you did achieve this. I didn't know that it was going to come out one at a time with many minutes in between each meal.
As we get to the location.
I was already pretty hungry because I was like, yeah, he's just cooking. I shouldn't eat. So I was already pretty hungry. And he brought out pita and baba ganoush and a bunch of olives. I was sucking the pit off those olives. I was so hungry. It was delicious, but I was starving. And
you looked at me and you're like, is there more? Yeah, I'm like, I mean, there will be. She's like, is it ready? I'm like, we're not there yet.
I was like, oh, we're going there. That's great. I could have gone to London and back and gotten something quicker. No, I'm joking. But it was so yummy, so delicious, but it was definitely one of those moments of like, it's fine dining. That is what it is, which isn't something that we do on a regular basis, and that's okay. But it was definitely like that moment of like, I get very weird with certain things like heated seats. That's a luxury. My dumb ass is like, ooh, someone sat on this. You know, like, it's supposed to be like, oh, look, this tailored experience, this, no. And I'm like, I'm hungry. Like, that kind of took over. But what's nice about eating like this is that you also, your body's digesting it. Duh. So, Dr. Margo in the house. So eventually, you know, you do get full and that's the whole point. Sure. Anyways, or the hunger kind of gets tamed.
It was funny. It was nice. Not funny. It was a little funny. It was nice to see you, like, after the second course, you're like, ooh, I can't wait to see where we go next.
Because
you had no clue.
I didn't remember this movie. But to tell you my favorite meal, it was definitely the ramen you made. It was a small portion, but it was succulent. It was savory. It was so good.
I made it with Heineken, actually.
Oh, well.
Instead of water.
You trying to kill me?
To make the broth, I used Heineken beer.
Nice. Oh, it tasted amazing.
Yeah, and that was my interesting take, I guess.
Yeah.
That was your favorite. Here's...
And I like the cucumber sandwiches, sorry.
Sure, sure. Here's my problem, and I won't do that again. I'm glad I did it. It was fun. It was a lot of work, you know, actively to do while we were watching a movie. And that's my problem. Like I said at the top, I enjoy doing that, and it makes my movie viewing experience elevated. I didn't really get to like just sit and watch the movie because I was constantly like, all right, I gotta start the oven here. I gotta like get plate this. I gotta take the picture of it, and I was just back and forth. So I was like serving you, which was great.
I was like a Roman lord, like laid out on my chaise lounge, and he was just feeding me grapes, and I'd go more.
Is there that. More pita?
Yeah, oh, sucking on olives. Yeah. So that's kind of where I was at. I was getting served, and if he was dancing around me and, you know, fanning me with a big palm leaf, like it was a great experience for me, but I didn't get to watch the movie with you. I really didn't.
I mean, you did and you didn't, because I sat and then I'd get up, I'd sit and I'd get up.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie a million times, right? So I didn't think it would affect too much, but when I already kind of, like I said, I'm like a stinker with this movie. I'm already coming in like, I don't like this movie that much, mm-hmm. Or as much as I want to or feel like I should. I didn't do myself any services, you know.
No, and also the whole point is that we watched the movie together and we didn't.
We did.
You ruined this. Yeah. No, I'm joking. There's a spider on the ceiling.
You're like I was in the other room, like the whole time. I wasn't. I'd get up often, but I watched the movie.
Oh, it was nice, and it was lovely to. We did get to watch the movie together, but I wanted to nuzzle all that.
And I mean, we did eventually, like just once we got to Scotland, you know, essentially the tail end of this movie. But there were long stretches of, hey, we're in London for a while. There's not another meal coming for a while. So yeah. I was there, but, I wouldn't do that again because I want to sit and enjoy these movies with you. And I don't want to say I didn't enjoy the movie, and we'll talk about it here in a minute. But I definitely didn't do myself any favors just getting up and down. The whole point is to immerse yourself with this food. I didn't immerse myself because I was up and down.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the idea of it. And I even had an idea, and it was going to be a damn monster movie. I was going to just combine all these different countries.
Which you've done before.
Yeah. And I was going to make a ramen with like stuff from Turkey, from London, from Macau, from China, from Japan,
nice.
From Scotland, and just make a big ramen smorgasbord, which, you know, could do that down the line.
I will say you could definitely recreate this and redo it, but I think it would be best if you did like, what was nice about the pita and the olives and the baba ganoush is you just cut stuff up and threw it in a bowl You don't cut up baba ganoush. You just open stuff and put it in a bowl, and then you cut up the pita. So that was easy prep versus the venison. You had to like cook it in time for us. You know, you don't like leaving stuff out. You don't like food to get cold. So maybe adjusting that and making it easy, ready, like meals you can just have on deck that you don't have to worry about getting cold. You don't have to worry about getting stale, getting this and that or whatever. Like, you know, I don't know. You know, when you leave ramen out for a while, there's that film of fat that starts building up, you know, like avoiding those types of foods. So
I would just avoid that situation. And
never mind. It was a one and done, you guys. All right, stop asking for it. Enough. So here we are.
But Skyfall. Yeah. So I've kind of expressed how I felt about it. Now, this transparency, this was not Margot's very first time seeing it. We had watched it almost 7 years ago.
Yeah, we can't lie to you guys. Wink.
But it has been long enough that, like, you remembered it to a degree, but you didn't remember most of it. Is that correct?
I did remember it, but I was watching it from it with a new perspective.
Very fair.
Like I'm watching a new movie. Well, obviously. Well, you know what I mean. That was my first thing. Was my husband, my boyfriend at the time, Hugh. My boyfriend likes this. And we like good movies. This is going to be a good movie. That was like the mentality I went in with this. This time around, I was like, oh, the nuances are going to be so interesting to notice. Like I came in with more of an analytical brain and more of an appreciation for the Bond culture. The culture of Bond, one might ask. I'm just going to drop people's handles throughout this episode.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, you know, they've heard the story that I, you know, tried getting you into Bond, making you watch Casino Royale, mm-hmm. and you fell asleep, right?
Because it was 11 p.m.
Yeah, just saying. And it's a long, long boy. We eventually did watch Casino Royale, and you loved it, and then we mm-hmm. watched Quantum, and you loved it, and then we... Well, but then it was time for Skyfall. We did, like, the whole Craig run. We were leading up to No Time to Die, which
was
coming out.
That's what it was, yes.
Yes. And actually, that whole, just a memory sparked, that was kind of, like, one of the initial ideas, the concepts of our show, when we were like, what could this be about? We would watch these movies in bed and order Thai food.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Huh. We would just lay in bed and watch these Bond movies.
Yeah, and then we'd do it in front of the camera. I'm sorry. It's low-hanging fruit and I'm hungry.
Feed me now.
Where are the gripes? Yeah. It's like spin. What were we talking about?
how we
started
watching these Bond movies, especially the Craig movies.
What was, first off, with Skyfall, that was one of the few, maybe the only Bond film that I had any remote connection to prior to watching it because of Adele. I knew the song Skyfall. I had heard it a million times. I didn't know it was a Bond theme. I had no idea.
That's
and
crazy.
At one point, you were showing me all the Bond themes, and Adele popped up, and I was like, oh, love this song. And then it was like, bum, 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 bum. And I was like, this is a Bond theme? Like, it took me a minute. And, so when it kicked in to Skyfall, I had also forgotten at that point that it was a Bond theme. And this was the first time watching it. I was like, oh, I did not know that Adele was into, you know, James Bond. And yeah, I was, it was cool. So that helped warm me up into the movie the first watch around. And then I was just excited to hear it again and to watch the opening title sequence. Thank you. That definitely had an impact on how I feel about this mm-hmm. movie. I mean, that's the thing. If you like the soundtrack to a movie, you're more likely to like the movie in general. That's kind of a...
I suppose.
You know, I don't know. Like, yeah. if it slaps, it's gonna have an impact on your opinion of the movie. So, that already was just awesome. I loved... She's just... Man, Adele, she's something else. I'm sorry, I'm playing with my little feetsies.
Would you like for her to... come back and sing another Bond theme?
I was going to ask. I don't think, but then, no, what's her name? The lounge singer. Was it Shirley Bassey? That damn Shirley Bassey. She came back to do another
one.
She's done three. Let's get Adele to do another one. I think she'd be great at it. And she'd be great at it. That's the most patronizing thing I could say about this.
To Adele.
This, like, universally loved singer who's incredibly talented. I'm like, I think she'd be great for it.
You meet Adele and be like, hey, listen, just some advice. I think, no promises, you might be good at singing another Bond theme song.
On my podcast with my husband in our attic, we just thought we'd pitch this to you. Oh, sorry, that was loud. Yeah.
I don't have iTunes anymore, but around...
iTunes.
Yeah, I know.
That is what it's called, huh?
Way back when this movie came out, almost, come next year, it'll be 15 years ago, which is bonkers. I listened to Skyfall so many times. I remember it was my most listened to song on my iTunes. And the last I checked, it was like almost 900 plays. I don't know. I don't know if that's impressive or not. There's probably people who play it more. I would just like, you know, I just play it on repeat and just let it go like all day kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was obsessed with it to the point where I got sick of it. And maybe that's the first breadcrumb of like why I'm a little bit of a stinker on this movie. It's all like self-inflicted wounds, right? It's like, oh, I played that song way too much and I got sick of it. And I listen to it now. I do like it, but I often, like when I, as we do, when we're driving somewhere, mm-hmm. I'll listen to Bond theme songs. I usually skip Skyfall, and it's not because I don't like the song.
It's because I'm singing. He's like, enough.
It's because I sing it, but I sing it like Goofy, the Disney character.
Now, charming as that is, I gotta tell our listeners, like, I love you. You're my husband. We're married. But sometimes we'll be singing a song will get stuck in your head. Yeah. And you'll do it in goofy voice.
I don't know why.
And the first couple times it was like, ha ha, funny. Then like by the 800th time, I'm just like, man, this is like a tick.
He doesn't even know he's doing it.
Yeah, like I don't think you realize you're doing it, but you'll just be like,
let the sky fall.
Yep, just like that. And we're driving. Nothing's playing. He'll just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got to
say. So that's maybe clue number one. Yeah, I remember when the song got announced back in 2000, and I don't know if it was even 12. It was probably 2012 when they announced the song. I've done this ever since Skyfall, all three of the other Bond movies since then. I don't listen to it. I wait until the movie, as God intended. I sit there and I experience the song for the first time, you know, there on the big screen. Mm-hmm. So when I first heard Skyfall, I was like, oh my, this is one of the best, if not the, yeah, I just remember that. I mean, my first time seeing this movie, you know, in 2012, I was in college. I was in my junior year and, I went to film school. And so all of my film buddies, we all got together and we went to the IMAX and saw it as big as humanly possible. It was my first IMAX movie that I had seen. It's not there anymore, but there was a mall called the Pittsburgh Mills here in Pittsburgh. And they had a true IMAX. And so for years we would go to see our big movies there. Mm. But that was the first IMAX movie I ever saw.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Mine was like IMAX, but like the full like globe planetarium.
OmniMax.
Oh, is that OmniMax?
It's an OmniMax.
Well, it was robots and it was awesome. So
hell
anyways.
Yeah.
But what were we talking about? The song.
Well,
here's the big
we were
thing
talking
with,
about me. But.
Well, I'm talking about me now. So with the song though, back to that real quick. What's really great about Adele is a choice. She was a hot thing at the time, totally worked. But not only that, she just has that very, like, her look is very 60s, the way that she does her makeup, the way she does her hair. Mm. Like, there's such a nostalgic look about her, and the way she sings incorporates the multiple, I feel like, eras of vocal manipulation. She definitely did, like, the whole, like, I feel like she did set this trend for girls singing, like, their...
Yeah.
Kind of like that, you know, but she does it well.
She started that, I think, or at least popularized it.
Yeah,
for
sure. And so because of that, she don't more popularize something, which means there is something unique about her. Like, if she wasn't just like the trendy thing at the time, she is like genuinely talented, and she is able to bring that, like, I don't know,
gravitas,
and also that, like, it's just, I don't know, the je ne sais quoi of like how people used to sing, like a very, like, she has that lounge singer kind of vibe to her without, but like elevated. It's very interesting. So I think she was the perfect choice. And that's why I think she would be a great choice a second time. Like other people, like Billie Eilish and Sam Smith, they were just the hot ticket at the time. And that's what, you know, what most people were listening to at the time, or they were the big pop star. I would not want them to do a second one, despite liking both of their songs. I would not want to see it again. Mm-hmm. Adele, though, I'm like, she fits the bill. Like, she fits that aesthetic, that sound. She's got that thing. And it's not like I'm a diehard Adele fan, like, where I'm like, surprise, surprise, I like Red Hot Chili Peppers. If they were like, oh, the Chili Peppers are coming out with a Bond theme, I'd be like, no, under no circumstance should you do that. But Adele, like, again, it's like...
The gold window down to Skyfall.
God, it'd be so bad. Chilla, chilla, baby, when your love is in the... Like, it would just be so stupid. It would be so stupid. Yeah. Maybe Flea could do something, but, you know, because that's just key.
He could be in it.
He can do anything.
He could be in the next
Bond
movie.
He can do anything he wants, and he's great. He's done voice acting. He's done acting. He's done it all. He's perfect. He's my baby boy. He's my sweet baby boy.
Just want to nuzzle in right between those two teeth.
I want to read him a book. like, yeah. What was I gonna say? But yeah, you know, but yeah. So she was perfect.
Yeah,
for that.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. She brought some class. She was classy. I remember when this movie was coming out. It was everywhere. It was treated like it was a big deal. Do you remember the Olympics were that year? Do you remember the whole bit with the Queen? It was actually the Queen of England did a promo commercial with Daniel Craig, James Bond, and they were going to the Olympics, and he was like, James Bond was her security, and they jump out of a helicopter and, you know,
wow,
parachute down to the stadium.
Man, nope, I missed that.
Yeah, we'll have to watch it after this.
That's so funny. It was the actual Queen.
The actual Queen. No, wow. She wasn't parachuting down.
Oh, shot, yeah. But she was like, hello, Governor, blimey.
I'm sure that's
Daniel Craig.
Queen Elizabeth talked, yeah.
She said Daniel Craig, and he was like, it's Craig.
Actually, she calls him Mr. Bond
Danny.
Or something. Danny. Oh, man. And yeah, you couldn't go around the corner without seeing Heineken everywhere.
Yeah.
And that poster. And maybe that's another breadcrumb. I've never been too big on the Skyfall poster. It was okay. You know.
What was it again?
Oh, it's just like him lying on the ground shooting his gun. Let me see here.
Oh, where he's like moving. Where he's like moving. Technical term.
Yeah, there's a few.
I'm a modern graphic designer. I can. Oh, yeah. It's
okay.
That's fine. Doesn't really. Again, like. It's just like this could be the poster for any of his movies.
Right.
And the whole point of a movie poster is you have to show how unique it is. And any average person knows this. So here we go. I remember the Heineken thing being a big deal. Like when it came out, I didn't know much about it, but I remember people talking about Heineken a lot after that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I got to share my little Heineken story, which is, so my grandfather, part of my memories of him is him drinking a 40 of Heineken with a big block of bacon, like cured bacon, like you could just cutting bits off and eating garlic. And so he's just baking garlic and Heineken.
When men were men.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I'm just saying, like, mind you, old Croatian guy, shirtless too, of course. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. It's just, you have to. It's the law in Croatia. Once you hit a certain age, you can never wear a shirt.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to. And your belt needs to be tight. Tight on there.
Gut has to protrude at least 10 to 18 inches.
Yes.
Past the belt line.
Hence the bacon and the girl. They have to. It's a law. They have to.
And the 40
and the
Heineken.
40 Heineken. Those things were. That's how I thought Heineken looked. Like, that's. That was mm-hmm. like. I was like, yes, that's how people drink Heineken. And then I saw the little bottle and I was like, what?
The little bottle. The normal bottle.
The normal bottles. That's tiny. That's crazy. I didn't know they make them kid size. Like, it's just. It's stuff like that. But, like, yeah. Anyways.
I
love Eastern Europeans. They're my favorite. They're my absolute favorite. And I adore being part of their culture. It's the best thing ever. But, what was I going to say? Yeah, so Heineken. That was, again, my only tether to that film.
I remember seeing Heineken everywhere. But this was also well before I really, like, connected that there's other products in these Bond movies. I'll get into it when we eventually talk about Spectre, but Spectre was the one I'm like, oh, Tom Ford, Omega. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't even cross my mind when I was watching Skyfall and the films before. I was like 21 and I don't know. I was going to film school, but I wasn't thinking about products and like, I want that suit or I want that watch. Wasn't something I cared about at the time.
You cared about the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. I remember, and here's the next little breadcrumb. This might even be a big thing with it altogether. I remember before this movie came out, I was a fan of the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. He had Berenice Marlowe on, and they were promoting the movie. And he had said that, you know, the reports are out that this is the best Bond movie ever.
Ah.
Like, it could be the best one ever. I was like, we'll see about that. So I went in, like, a little overhyped and wanting it to slip up. A little bit.
You're a little hipster.
I know.
You're such a hipster.
I love unwanted things. And the fact that this was a wanted thing, I'm like, I don't like it as much.
Like, everyone else is wrong and I'm right.
I think it also had to do with I really liked Quantum of Solace. And even at that time, it was getting picked on quite a bit. And I was like, this movie's great. People are like, it sucks. So when Skyfall came out, everyone's like, it's great. I'm like, it sucks. Yeah. Even though I was like, this movie's excellent.
Yeah.
Don't
worry, I was a little hipster too, but I wasn't the fun hipster. I wore like flannels and stuff. Like, I was the annoying one. And I didn't even like good stuff. So
I think, you know, I this maybe has something to do with it too. I saw this movie 3 times in the theater, so I must have liked it at least a bit. It came out in the later half of 2012. I was in a long-term relationship that needed to end short-term. It should have ended. It should have never happened, right? We were together like 3 years. We broke up shortly after this movie came out, but we had seen it together. But like, I just remember being like really miserable and just very unhappy in like personal life stuff, right? Yeah. So going and seeing this movie with this person, she was one who's like, I, you know, hate James Bond just because you like it kind of thing. The opposite of you.
She sucks. I rule.
Yeah. So maybe there is.
You know, it's funny. You'll talk about your exes and I'm like, what a, like almost like a, like, I'm like, how could she do that to you? But like, not in the way where I'm like, yeah, I'm better. But I'm like, you guys could have been something, you know, like, I don't know why it's like, it's because they're peons and who cares about them.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Yeah. And I think that's maybe affected me going into this movie. Like back then in 2012, I was already a bit of a stinker in my personal life, or stinky things were happening.
Stinky things indeed.
Yeah. A lot of stresses, you know, I was coming up on my senior year of college and like, what's the future gonna be, and my life's miserable, and I'm going in this movie that I want to fail. You know, I didn't want it to fail, but yeah. I was very, I remember being this kind of nitpicky, like that opening title credits, so with Skyfall playing and the visuals, right? I didn't like it, and I still kind of don't. I love the song. I feel like it's a little inconsistent. I feel like it's like,
I can't remember it.
They want to show, they show like little homages to the movie we see, but the styles change throughout. And, it felt like they, at least to me, it was like they couldn't decide what they wanted to do. So they just did them all. And I like it when it's like, it flows a little bit more. Yeah. Think like Casino Royale's opening, just that the card motif and the visual of, you know, Bond fighting through the cards and stuff. The whole song's like that.
Yeah.
Sky or Quantum of Solace, you know, Bond in the desert and, you know, targets and ladies coming out of the sand dunes. Like, it was very consistent throughout.
Yeah.
Skyfall, there's a lot going on. A lot of different things.
I think it was kind of, it insisted upon itself because it was trying to be like, this is a dark, this is emotion. This is angsty. Look at us. Emo Nemo, James Bondo. Like, that's kind of what they were trying to reinforce. And I think they did it way too hard and way too much. And it just kind of, I don't know, kind of, I do remember, like, there was a point where there's, like, you know, those, the targets with the human-shaped targets for, like, at gun ranges,
yeah.
But it was James, but it was Daniel Craig ones, oh, what could that mean? Like, it was just so, like, no, I get it, you know, like, it's, thanks, guys, like, I understand, and then they kept, like, being like, yeah, but he might get shot, and there's internal turmoil, and they kept like shoving that down our throats, and it was like, where are the naked ladies, you know, like, where are the ladies with their hands going ooh la la, like in the dancing and stuff, you know, that's what I wanted. But
yeah,
you can't, you know, always get what you want.
But you know, the before that opening sequence is amazing, one of the best, where Bond and Naomi are trying to Or is it? Bond and Eve are trying to get the hard drive mm-hmm. with all the agents' names. And, you know, they're running through Turkey and getting on the train.
Which is crazy that it's on a hard drive to begin with. That's insane.
It's a different time.
Okay.
And Eve accidentally shoots Bond by M's orders. Great stuff. And I think has your favorite part in the whole movie. Is that true?
Hmm? Oh, yes. When he... Oh, it's got the... When the digger crunches the train and he jumps off of it, lands, and the first thing he does is he fixes his... He just kind of flicks his jacket and fixes his cuffling. Oh, so cool.
Like that... That's James Bond.
Like he just like didn't... Just, whew, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know when you jump and you land and it feels like the blood splattered in your feet and you're like, ah, like, that's... I bet he was thinking that.
As a great representation, just like, we recently were talking with Ryan, and I was like, what's a scene? What's a moment that encapsulates what James Bond is? That could be a good answer for that, yeah. Right? It's like him, you know, on this chase, jumping onto a crashed, you know, ripped off train and, you know, adjusts his cufflinks.
Yeah, he...
Like, that's James Bond right there.
That's James Bond. Like, he wreaked havoc. There are people's safety there. Like, I don't know. He just... If I was on that train and somebody did that and just jumped like nothing, I'd be like, can you, like, take care of that? Can you bring it back,
please? Excuse me. He didn't have a ticket.
Yeah, I'd tell him. I'd be like, it was him. It was him the whole time.
But yeah, great stuff. And, you know, we're not going to break down the whole movie, but some highlights. Mm-hmm. What are some highlights for you about Skyfall?
Talk about a woman. What a woman. I want to be like M when I'm older. Like, suave, clever.
Doesn't take no shit.
Yeah, like, just like...
Stands by her decisions.
Yeah, it's... she's just such a... Well, one, that damn Judi Dench is incredible. Just incredibly talented. Knows how to, like, carry herself... Her candor, everything is just like, that's a woman of power, and not just a woman of power, a person of power. It's great. Her interactions with Bond, her like, and then M just having that like soft spot for Bond, taking risks, knowing it could put people in danger. And it's always Bond that she kind of like, whose life she risks because she knows he'll be okay. Or like in her mind, it's like, I can do this with him because I know he'll make it out. Telling Moneypenny to take the shot. You know?
Yeah. Eve.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Calypso. Her taking that shot, you know, it hit Bond, but yeah, what are you gonna... he'll be fine. Not that she says it, but like there's almost that where it's like she believes he is indestructible. He doesn't pass the test, but she still sends him out. Like there's something about that, whether it's a soft spot or it's like this undeniable... like confidence in his abilities. It's really impressive and it's really great. And it builds such a meaningful relationship without making it sappy and gross. Yeah. You know, the moment where he's holding her and she passes, it's very powerful. It's effective.
Oh yeah. Bring a tear to your eye.
Yeah. Because of how they establish the relationship throughout the movie. There's just like that whole, like it just, her presence on the screen is just impressive on its own. But then just the way that she like, navigates the relationships with other characters is really great.
Do you feel like, I guess this would play into our verdict later, but as we're talking with M, do you feel someone brand new can just come into this movie and feel that character arc, that impact that M has? So when she does pass away, and I just said bring a tear to your eye, will they feel it? Or is it one of those deals, like, for me, I've been watching her in these Bond movies since 1995, right? And she's been in, like, 7 of these movies.
I didn't really think of it. My first instinct is to say no because of the start of the movie, mm-hmm. which is take the shot. Not, you know, when you're thinking about the relationship between M and Bond, it's that very much like, God, you have work to do. Get off her. Stop humping everything, you know, like there's
Sexual tyrannosaur.
Yeah, like, you know, and it's just with every movie, like every time.
Not a sexual tyrannosaur, that's from Predator.
But M as the character, in all its interpretations, he's always, he, she, whatever, is always kind of pissed at Bond. Like, can you just for 5 seconds, keep your dick out of your brain for, like, just real quick. So that isn't quite there in this movie early on. The boss and employee relationship. It's more of a mentor-mentee relationship. And I think you need to see how it gets to there in order to be, like, fully on board and fully understand the nature of the relationship. That's my knee-jerk reaction.
You kind of get it, though. I know what you're saying, but the employee-employer relationship is, we both had a job to do, we both made decisions, and we live with them. We move on. I made a decision to, you know, call it, pull the trigger.
No,
and
I agree.
There was the action.
Yeah, but the fact that she didn't do it, like, she knew it was Bond. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. There's that relationship there, it made that moment so much more significant.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just another agent that she made that decision with.
Absolutely.
It was with Bond.
Stronger because of previous films.
Her saying, take the shot, you're like, oh, whoa. Like,
right.
Are you sure? Like, you know, there's significance to that. And I do think it is based in the fact that she does believe he is indestructible. Or that, like, the rules don't apply to him somehow. Like, I don't know. Just she's got, I can't quite express it, but
I mean,
she's got that. And so the thing is, if you're bringing that in for a new... for a novice viewer, you're missing that piece of the moment before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think maybe it wouldn't, like, that's what I'm saying with, like, the death, her death wouldn't be as significant. Because it also would be kind of like, oh, we just get one movie with this person and you have to explain it and you have to give context. And it's, so yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it plays into the plot of the movie, ultimately, like the villain's scheme and why. That's also something I really love about this movie is it isn't like I'm going to destroy the earth or I'm holding, you know, I'm trying to start World War III or something. It's I'm just out for revenge on this person who did wrong by me.
Yeah.
And like Bond and Silva are these parallels because they're both like M's favorite agent and she makes a call that like kind of throws them away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how these two parallels decide what they decided to do with that. Bond decides to come back and, you know, save the world and protect her, and while Silva is like, you know what, I am coming back, but I'm coming to destroy the world and kill M. I love the plot of this movie and how M's relationship, not only with the hero and the villain, is the way it is. It's it's great.
Yeah, it feels like M is the main character in this movie.
Mm. She's the Bond girl for sure.
She's no.
I love her coat at the beginning of this movie.
Oh, big time! Yeah, her whole fashion in that entire movie. She was. In that movie, the first time I ever was like, ooh, I'd like that coat in a Bond film. I've never had that like, oh, I like that look, or I like this, or I like that in a Bond movie yet. And damn, Judi Dench brought me there. So that was cool. Outfit when they were at Skyfall and everything, just the big coat and all that. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was really cool. But I don't know. There's everything about her just works for this movie so well. So that was like, for me, the biggest highlight is just anytime M was involved.
Now that you've, you know, watched a lot of these Bond films up to rewatching Skyfall now, and we've had our discussions whether on the show or with the gatherals and things like that. I made that comment about M being the Bond girl of this movie. The Bond girl is Severine, played by Bernice Marlowe. How do you feel about, I guess, how she's brought in and kind of dispatched, and not your traditional Bond girl? Were you disappointed in that? Were you?
I don't
okay
remember
with it?
Her very much, so kind of forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember much about her. I just remember her with the shot glass on her head.
Yeah,
that's it. Like, if you tell me about it, I'm sure I'll be like, oh yeah, but I don't know. I didn't care. I you know.
You just didn't care. Yeah.
I don't think I did. I don't remember caring. So. Yeah.
I found her to be very interesting, and okay. She was in all the advertisements, and I just assumed we were getting like a traditional Bond girl.
Yeah.
Bond girl relationship, you know, with James Bond.
No, I remember her. Man. I remember that scene. You know what's funny? I remembered a completely different person there. Because I love that scene, and I loved her interaction with Bond, and I loved the character that she was, but I just, in my mind, it was just a completely different lady. I just did not put the pieces together in my brain after the movie. Now, during the movie, yes, I remembered that was her, I knew that was her, but after we watched, like, now, I was like, wasn't that a different lady? I'm like, oh my god, that was her. So yeah, because I love that whole scene. I thought that was great.
It's funny how your wires get crossed with some of these, because... I remember when we were getting ready to see Quantum of Solace, and you're like, Bond and Camille do it. And I was like, no, they don't. And you're like, they do it in the shower.
And that was Skyfall. Yeah.
And
it was
Skyfall. And then we watched Skyfall, and I remember you pointed out, you're like, I thought this was it. I thought it was that scene. And you're like, even now you're saying, like, you remember the scene where Bond is meeting Severine, and you're like, I swore that was someone else.
So funny. It's so weird how, like, I don't know. That happens to me a lot. Star Wars, that happens to me too. I'm like, no, he loses his hand in this movie. And it's like, it's the prequels. I'm like, oh, I thought he, you know, like, it's, yeah, so. Yeah.
Actually, a funny factoid I found out recently. When Bond is fighting that Komodo dragon, his character was supposed to wear gloves in that scene. And Daniel Craig bought these, like, really nice gloves. And he was wearing them during that action sequence, but it's in the movie Bond gets a gun from Q that can only read his fingerprints, so only he can shoot it, and one of these like henchmen grabs it and tries to shoot him, and it doesn't work, right? And then Bond gets it and he is able to use it. They filmed it, but then they are like, oh shoot, he's got gloves, it doesn't make sense. So they calculated how expensive it would be to reshoot it, and they decided, let's just CGI it. Apparently, I didn't notice it, but apparently if you watch that shot, his hands are really thick. Like
he's got big meaty hands.
He's got big meaty hands.
All right. I didn't notice.
I didn't notice either.
That's really cool.
And a funny factoid.
That is crazy that like reshooting it, it's not just like, okay, quick, let's do it. That's like $100,000. Maybe. Yeah,
probably more.
Yeah, $2 million.
Because all the crew and the actor's time and
the craft,
time itself.
Craft table.
Craft services.
Craft services, man. That's most of the budget at this point.
I worked craft services. I was in charge of crafty on a film set.
Nice.
And they gave me very little money. They're like, here's $50. Get enough food to last the whole day and feed this whole group. I mean, I don't remember how much. It was very little.
Went to Permane's, got one sandwich.
I went to Walmart. And I remember a lot of the food I would get, a lot of the cast was a little upset because it was like not like... Like, can we have like sandwiches, right? Or like some protein, anything like that? I'm like... We didn't have anything to like, we didn't have a refrigerator. We couldn't cool it or heat it or anything. So just, and this stuff needed to sit out all day.
Yeah.
It's a very small rinky dink movie. So I got things like protein bars, chewy bars, grips. Do you remember grips?
Oh yeah. I love grips.
Gushers.
Nice.
Eventually I got protein bars and like oranges.
Nice.
Apples.
It's funny.
Peanut butter and bread.
In your family, there's something you guys get really weird about how long food stays out.
Well,
which is fine.
As a normal person,
that's not true. I bring my lunch. I do not put it in the fridge.
No wonder you're sick all the time.
I'm never sick. I'm strong as a ox.
Tell that to yourself next time you blow your nose.
We for one of the in service days when I was a teacher. This is back in San Francisco. They would buy lunch for us, and they didn't tell us what it was because they were like, we're so excited, we want to surprise you guys with it. And it was Panda Express. I was the only one who was jazzed. Mm-hmm. I was the only one who was like, bitchin', yes! Like, dude, so cool, Panda. And nobody else was happy. People were like picking out the vegetables in the food. And I understand you want to be, I guess some people are, you're health conscious and everything. But I was like, I went for seconds and thirds. And then, and nobody was touching it. And I remember the director was like, do you just want to take this home? Nobody else wants it. And I just took like a catering container size, Margo, of Panda Express food home. And it was the best day of my life.
Nice.
Yeah. It was the most, it was worth more than my entire annual salary working there. So yeah. There we go.
I have a question for you about teaching. Skyfall.
Yes. Sorry. Panda Express.
Not Panda Express, but Skyfall Express. How do you feel about the overall concept of this movie of old ways are best, old dog, new tricks, even the parallels of the villain being like the old agent is gonna, could he succeed against the newer agent who is, I say in quoted fingers, aging? Like that whole story is Bond is, he's at the tail end.
Yeah. I do love those kinds of stories when that's like the moral, the old ways are there for a reason, but the new ways just improve on those ways. And it's, I love that navigating that with anything. Now with espionage, I don't know the ins and outs, so I just know what the movie told me. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm like, no, M, we got it. Yeah, I agree with you. We got to do gadgets and fun stuff,
Nightmare on Elm Street, like, Home Alone stuff.
Yeah, like that scene with Q when he was like, what were you expecting, an exploding pen? Like, I was like, nice. That was a cool callback.
I remember another crumb sitting in the theater the first time. He's like, what are you expecting, an exploding pen? We don't really go in for that anymore. I was like, boo! I didn't do that. Yeah. But I was like, aw.
I kind of like that.
I like the gadgets.
Yeah. But I did like that he was, the teeny tiny radio. I thought that was cute.
I love it, yeah.
Swallow it,
And he's got a gadget, the gun that only reads his fingerprints.
It's
super cool.
But it's like, that's so practical. Yeah. That's so useful,
So would a grenade pen.
But it does, like, it does play into that theme of, like, yeah, we're not doing, but, like, M is like, no, we need a lasso in his watch. Like, I like that, and I'm, obviously we're suckers for physical media and for things that are nostalgic, things that are of the past. But then, like, when it comes down to it, like, when I'm at work and one of the higher-ups is like, how do you open a PDF? I'm like, it's infuriating when they're stuck in the old ways. And they refuse to budge, and they don't want to learn the new things and adapt. Mm-hmm. That's frustrating. When it's like, no, this method works well. Let's incorporate it into the new ways. That to me makes more sense. But I do love it when films explore those themes.
Yeah,
because that's something you see constantly. And technology is evolving exponentially. It's never going to plateau, and it's never going to hit a peak because the technology that they're creating is enhancing the future technology and thus enhancing the future technology, and it just keeps compounding onto itself. And birds aren't real. Time is a construct. Everything's a conspiracy.
Yeah, I love that is the word antithesis here in the movie where, technology is expressed as, like, I can do more damage on my laptop than you can do in 6 months in the field before my first cup of Earl Grey, whatever he says. And even Silva, using his technology, just like, he could just do this and that from his computer, boop, and cause all kinds of chaos. He's doing all the terroristic things he's doing from his computer. Mm-hmm. And yet Bond saves the day with a knife. With, his 1964 Aston Martin.
Right. That was such a beautiful moment. I loved it. Mm-hmm. With the ejector seat.
Yeah.
And she was like, what did she say? Like, what are you going to do? Eject me? Go on, do it. Or something like that. Like, that was so sweet.
That's the kind of Easter egg homage stuff I personally enjoy. Yes.
Not whistling a previous film's theme,
Sure. Earns it. It earns the homage. Not only does it earn it, plays into the movie. It's not just something like
it advances fun the plot. In the background.
Yeah,
right. That's when it works, and I do think also at that point, what, 2012, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people were getting viruses on their computers, falling for scams, like the amount of stuff that was, it's nowhere near what it is now with like AI scammers and stuff like that. But that was really when there was this popular vernacular around, do not click this link. You're gonna, all your information will get stolen. Like, yeah. That was a very big thing. And,
yeah, what if that was Silva's plot? It's like, I'm going to
Trojan horses,
steal M's social security number.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, that would have been as equally as scary because holy smokes, what a terrifying thing to happen to you. But it played into that where it wasn't just popular culture. It was just the climate of what was considered a security risk and what was considered a safety or whatever, hazard or whatever. But so I thought that was really interesting.
Which plays into another plot point of this movie is they're trying to, you know, shut down MI6. Like, we don't need it anymore. It's time to evolve.
Yeah.
And M is arguing, like, essentially that adage of the old ways are best.
Yeah.
Let's keep going, and proves to be true. My favorite part of this movie is Silva's intro when he's making that long walk, the story of growing up on the island and the rats.
I have four primal fears in this world: tsunamis, wolves, Brock Lesnar, and Javier Bardem. Like, holy smokes, those guys, terrifying. He's a scary guy. He's so good as a villain. I bet he's delightful in person. But No Country for Old Men. For Old Men. And Skyfall. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good. And this idea of like him slowly walking towards you. He doesn't need like a big reveal spotlight from the shadows. This and that. He's just
It's one of the best. And he's a great, like, classic Bond villain. And saying classic Bond villain, just classic Bond stuff, this movie, it was the 50th anniversary of the films of James Bond, and that's why you get like nice homages like the Aston Martin, like a good, I don't want to say a good classic villain is part of the 50th anniversary, but even including Moneypenny ultimately. It was just like a nice 50th anniversary celebration of Bond. Like, this movie really went all in on celebrating what we love about this character and these movies, and without it feeling like a cheap homage, right? It everything feels earned. Everything is curated to be this like excellent Bondian adventure, even when it ends. You know, with pleasure, Em, with pleasure. That's an ending that just makes you want to just like pump your fist in the air. Mm-hmm. Like, that's James Bond.
The adventure continues.
Yeah, James Bond will return.
Buries it, and he gets back to work.
I love it. And then, you know, as I'm talking about this movie, with you, this whole discussion, I keep saying there's these little breadcrumbs of why I don't like this movie as much as I feel like I should. And that is a great way to say it, is I came out of this movie, like I said, pumping my fist in the air, being like, hooray, like, this is such a like a crowd pleasing movie, a James Bond celebration. It, like, what makes Bond great? This movie's got it. Why don't I feel like I like it as much as I should? Like, it's very much in the middle for me. Like, I got a couple Bond movies, like, I don't know, like From Russia with Love, for example. I feel like I should love it more than I do. Thunderball, right? They're all kind of around the same spot. Like, number 16, 15, 14, like somewhere like right in the middle. I don't know why.
Why do you want to like them more?
I don't know. Because while I watch them and reminiscing on them, there's like these just like things I love so much. And I recognize that they're great. I'm like, it's great. If I were to rank, like star rate it, it'd be like, you know, a 9. Why isn't it in my top 10?
I will say, I do think you... This is how I feel about certain movies, for example. Like, Yojimbo is a really good example.
Sure.
Every time we watch it, or I watch it, or whatever. Yeah, every time I watch it, I'm like, this should be in my top 10. This movie should be in my top 10. I love it. I love it, and I want to say, oh yeah, my top 10 favorite movies of all time, blah, 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 Yojimbo. The fact of the matter is when you say Yojimbo, I get excited, but when you say Parasite, I'm like, like, I get jazzed. There's a little, like, goes up my spine, and I want to talk. I want to just, what's going on? And at the end of the day, like, you can acknowledge something as an excellent movie, an excellent film, but the reason you have your top 10 is because it elicits more than just your analytical perception. Mm-hmm. It's at the end of the day, like, you can't help excitement. That's not something that you can just force. It's not something you can be excited about how good something is, but inherent excitement, like A View to a Kill. Why is that my favorite? It's not a good movie. It's a great movie, but it's not a film, you know? Like, it's not, I don't have much to say other than, like, it's just so much fun. And I don't like it ironically. I'm not like, oh my God, it was so bad that it's my favorite. I genuinely had such a good time watching it. I love the villain. I love the good guys. What's her name? Tanya Roberts is kind of annoying, but I can ignore her and it's fine. And the scene with her in the vase, like, that gets me super, like, I get excited with that kind of stuff. And you just can't help but feel the way you feel. So the fact that that's not there with that movie, I think is also kind of the point of this movie. It's just a great movie, but it doesn't have enough of that quirk to, what do you call it? It's universal.
Mm-hmm.
So if it had that quirk, it would vibe with specific people more so.
Yeah.
And I feel like you like that kind of stuff. Something that's like, pew, like, directed to you. It's like, you're going to like mm-hmm. this specifically. A lot of your top movies in general have that aspect, that quirk, and it doesn't have that. That doesn't mean it's a bad movie. That just means it's not a movie that's designed to be in your top because of a niche, like, emotion that mm-hmm. it elicits. So I think that might be it. Because same with From Russia with Love and Thunderball. They're great movies. But what is it about, like, what reason is it giving you to be genuinely, like, jumping out of your chair excited? Like, oh, I have something to say about this, you know?
For, like, yeah, me specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, I said around the time, it was a little overhyped for me. I listened to the Adele song to death. You know, I was nitpicky about certain things just because it was the popular movie at the time, and I wanted to, you know, put my little hipster glasses on. And I was going through some personal stuff at the time, so that definitely affected my initial opinion of the movie. But as we have chronicled, great action, great characters, great villain, great music. We didn't really talk about the cinematography by my guy Roger Deakins, but is it the best looking Bond movie? Maybe. It's incredible to look at. And the climax at the end at Skyfall, and the Home Alone Nightmare on Elm Street booby traps is amazing. I love that stuff. Great 50th celebration of James Bond. But I also said tonight, it didn't have, like, the gadgets that I love. It didn't have, like, the classic Bond girl that I love. And like you just said, the little quirks. I love to use the term frequency. Mm-hmm. It's like a easy blanket word to say what you were saying. Like, it just doesn't hit my frequency of, like, movies that I love and that speak to me more, mm-hmm. that vibe with my personality more. Like, I think that's it.
Yeah, The Fugitive. Let's take that as an example. You like The Fugitive?
Sure.
You love The Fugitive?
Yes.
It's a great movie.
Absolutely.
Is it in your top 20?
Top, no.
100% for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen me with The Fugitive. Like, I'm like, hey, should we watch The Fugitive? Like, I adore that movie. Tommy Lee Jones, Harrison Ford, the plot, everything, and then those small quirks of Tommy Lee Jones, like, I don't care, best line in cinema ever. it's, but again, it's the, like exactly what you said there, the frequency. So I don't think you should like it more. I think you like it the perfect amount. You know it's a great movie. You know it's very well executed. Everything that it did intentionally, it achieved. And everything that just kind of naturally came out of it is something that that is very enjoyable. I think that's as much as you owe that movie.
Hmm.
You don't owe it anymore. It's you appreciate it. You like it. It's just not your frequency. That's it.
I love it.
Did that help you?
I think we did solve it.
Wow.
I think we did.
Really?
Like for years, I'm like, I am a stinker on Skyfall, and I don't know why. I could tell you what, like I did say, I like don't like it for these reasons, but I love it for these, and it's like the good outweighs my personal bad, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out why. It's that simple. It's just not my vibe, yeah. My frequency.
You like what you like, and that's always what like. Has stood out to me with you is you love a lot of things, but you like love very specific things. And it's never predictable because you like so many certain things like Super Mario Brothers movie.
From 1993.
From 1993, mind you. But then, you know, Terry Gilliam films, you love them.
Mm-hmm.
You love them. I'm trying to think, like, there's the...
Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Yeah, there you go. And then there's, like, comedy films and, like, oh, and anything Weird Al.
Sure.
Like, you know, it's stuff that has character. This movie does have personality, but it don't got that character that you traditionally, or not traditionally, but that you naturally gravitate towards.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hmm.
You like what you like. You like this movie, but that's all you owe that movie. That's it.
Well, thank you for helping me.
You're very welcome.
Solve that issue. But what do you think? Is this movie for people like me? Is it for the novice? For people who are celebrating 50 years of James Bond? Or is it for the novice newcomer? Could you show this to Joe Schmo off the street being like, hey, what is James Bond? Well, here, watch Skyfall.
I think it's for the nostalgic because there's history to this movie. It's a great movie and I think anyone can like it, but it's for the nostalgic. The nods, the effective nods, the homages and everything, like there is history to this movie. Like you need a little context to understand what it is that they're really trying to deliver in the message. You can watch it with fresh eyes and not knowing who Bond is or anything like that, or even just knowing a little bit about Bond and still appreciate it. But for it to achieve what it's trying to achieve, you do need some history.
Could you enjoy this movie if you only knew about Adele? No, I actually, I'll disagree on the verdict there. I think this movie is definitely for the novice. I think it's enhanced with the nostalgicness, right? I think it's enhanced with the history for sure, but I think this is such a crowd pleasing amalgamation of a Bond movie. It's got it all, and I think you could show this to anybody and who likes this kind of genre, yeah. I guess, and they will enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely like it could be a good introductory Bond film.
It's safe. It's a safe.
Oh,
safe movie.
Why do you say that? What makes it safe?
Because it's good in every aspect. You don't have to worry about the niche.
It just might not hit your frequency.
That's right.
So that's gonna do it. That's our Skyfall
discussion.
Our revisiting.
The jury's still out on this one with the verdict.
Oh, sorry.
So here we are. Well, no, the verdict is not in. We disagree. I'll have to revisit it in 6 years.
Yeah, we talk about Skyfall again.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to wrap her all up on Skyfall.
That's right. How do we usually end episodes?
We plug our stuff.
We plug our stuff, of course. I'm so used to having guess at this point. I'm like, where are we? What year is
She's
it?
She's looking at me like, plug your stuff.
Yeah, where can we find you? All right, well, folks, you can find us on Instagram and only Instagram at A Good Squeeze, where August so lovingly tailors these and squeezes a little bit of Bond into his everyday life, our everyday life, and really showcases it in such a compelling way. It's all original. It's all us. It's all him. It's all you, listener.
It's all you. It's all
movies,
me.
Space, Mickey.
We take anything and squeeze the life out of it, right, until it becomes James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
You can also listen to us. Well, wherever you're listening to us right now, but we're also on things like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play. If you want to listen on the URL, we're on Audioboom and all those good things. Yeah. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, hey, we're there.
That's right. Oh, man. On that note, I'm Margo.
And I'm August.
And this has been...
Should I try it like Daniel Craig would say it?
Do like M.
Oh, what? What? She would do it like that. She'd be like,
A good squeeze. That's just.
A good squeeze.
A good squeeze. Do it like
Daniel Craig?
Do Alan Rickman.
A good squeeze. My nose is all messed up. I'm going to eat your heart with a spoon. I can't do it.
Do it like Javier Bardem.
A good squeeze. What the hell was that?
Do it like Goofy.
A good squeeze.